All right. Hello, everybody. Good to see you. Welcome to At The Movies, those online as well as at one of our campuses and here at Legacy. At The Movies, this is number three. So if you missed the last two, let me encourage you to go back and check those out as we're taking these big movies that happen throughout the year and take the themes of that movie to the Bible to hear what God says and then apply that to our life. Next week, we try really hard to keep all the movies secretive until the week, but I'm going to give you a hint, okay? And that is, this is a 2023 movie that some of you are thinking, surely they're going to do that movie. And some of you are thinking, surely they're not going to do that movie. And that's the movie. So that's all I'll say. You just have to come and check it out. But today's movie, as we just saw, is the movie Air, which is an Amazon movie produced by Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. It was a very well done movie built around the creation of the Air Jordan brand and one of the greatest branding stories ever. And of course, also built around Michael Jordan, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Certainly in basketball, some would say the greatest athlete of all time. And the movie really is about what makes successful things successful and that's what we're going to talk about today. Because people like Michael Jordan, I grew up in the 80s. I mean, I was in high school in the 80s, junior high. So 80s, and if you're, kind of in my frame, then you wanted to be like Mike. And why not? Because he was such a successful person. But when you understand Michael Jordan and look at him, he wasn't just successful because he was lucky. Because successful people aren't successful because they're lucky. It may make us feel better to think that, but that's really not true. And successful people aren't necessarily successful because they're so talented. Talent helps. But highly successful people are successful like Michael because, and he's an illustration of that, they do things that most people just don't do over and over and over and over and over again. And what we're going to talk about today is how successful things become successful. Because I believe God wants us to be effective. He doesn't want us to be duds. He wants us to be successful. And I'm not talking about he wants us all to be rich or billionaires. That's not what I mean by success. I mean that God wants our lives to count. He wants our relationships to be rich and meaningful. He wants us to be people of impact. And that won't just happen because we're lucky. Or because we're talented. It'll happen because there's certain things, certain components that we'll have that will lead to that kind of effectiveness and success. And so what I want you to do is I want you to think about an area of your life. I don't want you to just think generally, I want to be successful. Think about one area of your life that you would love to be highly successful and highly effective. So it might be your Christian life. Might be a relationship with God. It might be a relationship, a friendship, marriage, family. It might be your career. It might be a business. It might be some kind of goal or dream that you have. I don't know, but it'll help through this talk to have that one thing you think, man, I would love for that to be successful. I would love for that to work. And today, we're going to see, these are biblical things that we'll see illustrated in the movie, kind of three necessary components that separate things that are kind of okay or duds to those that are highly, highly effective. And we're actually not going to be talking about Michael Jordan himself so much because the movie really isn't about Michael Jordan. And if you haven't seen the movie, I really encourage you to watch it. It's really a fascinating story about the creation of the Air Jordan brand, Nike Air Jordan brand, and how that happened. And it's fun for me because the movie was set in 1984 when Air Jordan as a brand started. And that was high school for me. That was my junior year going into my senior year of high school. I remember when Air Jordans came out, and I'm excited because I have some now. But when it came out, like in 1984, 1985, I remember when it came out, everybody wanted them, but they were so expensive. They were almost like $100. Who would pay $100 for shoes? Right? And especially 1985, 1984. And it was crazy. So a few kids had them and everybody was jealous of them, but I didn't have them, because they were just too expensive. But it's an incredible story. And because in 1984, Nike basketball was in the tank. They had 17% of the market share of basketball shoes. Now they owned running. So they were a big, you know, billion-dollar company, the top, you know, brand in terms of running, but basketball, it was so bad versus Converse and Adidas that the board of Nike really wanted to shut the basketball division down. It was just time to call it quits. It's just not worth even trying anymore. And as a last-ditch effort, they hire a guy who's one of the heroes of the story, Sonny Vaccaro, who was a talent scout, to take their amount of money for marketing and sign a few players from the 1984 draft. What they could do would be sort of second-rung players with the amount of money they had, but hopefully enough that they could be the faces of Nike that would cause people to get excited about the brand. But when Sonny sees one of those players in the 1984 draft, Michael Jordan, the third pick of that draft, he has a vision for something. And that vision is to build everything, not around three people or four people, but build everything around that person. And not just have that person, Michael Jordan, wear the shoes, but to build the brand around him. And he has vision and something that nobody else can see, which gets us to the first component of anything that's highly successful, and that is vision. People who can not just see what is, but see what can be. And that starts everything rolling. I want us to see that in the movie lived out, and then we'll talk about it. Let's watch the first clip. Okay. So Sonny Vaccaro sees something that other people can't see, even in Michael Jordan. I mean, everybody knew that Michael Jordan was going to be a good player. He was the third pick in the draft. But everybody thought, okay, this 18-year-old is going to be a good player. He's a number three kind of player in a draft class, and he's going to have an impact, but he's just going to be another basketball player in the NBA. But Sonny could see what hardly anybody else saw at the time in Michael Jordan, and that is, no, this is a generational talent. This is somebody that is going to be special. This is going to be somebody who's going to be great. And therefore, he has a vision, not only of what Michael's going to be, but what would it be like if we, Nike, could build a whole line just around him. Not just sign a bunch of players to wear Nike shoes, but to build everything in the Nike brand around this one person. And build a whole shoe line around the one person. So the brand isn't really Nike, the brand is him. And that's the creation of Air Jordan. Which makes sense now because we can look back and think, well, that's obvious, but nobody was thinking that way back then. But he had vision. He could see what other people couldn't see because he was willing to see with vision, which is not just seeing what is, but what can be. And anything that's highly effective, any person that's highly effective, any organization that's highly effective, at some point, you can't just say, well, this is what is and it's always gonna be. One of the components of success is saying, okay, let's be real about what is, but then let's get to what could be, what can be. One way to say that is to look through eyeglasses of potential. Highly successful people look at things through eyeglasses of potential. They see what can be, not just what is. I mean, think about it. Jesus, he's the ultimate example of that. When Jesus comes to the planet over and over again, at the beginning of his ministry, this is what he said. Like in Matthew 3:2, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And here's what he's saying. When he says repent, it means turn around. Like, okay, you're just living life the way you're living it, whatever, and it's not going anywhere. Turn around and follow me into a whole new way of life, into his kingdom. Now, when Jesus says kingdom, what he's talking about, whenever he says that in the New Testament, is life as God originally meant it to be, and Jesus came to restore it because we live in a broken world. It's messed up. It's not the way God created it. We messed it up. Jesus came to restore and redeem. And he's saying, walk with me into the world the way it was meant to be, the way it can be. Into life, your life, the way it can be. Relationships, the way they can be. Let's walk into a whole new life. And that vision is still the vision that animates you and me today as his church. And a couple billion other people on the planet today united around that vision of a visionary, somebody who's calling us to what can be, and in his case, will be. Same thing when Jesus looked at people, like the people he chose, the disciples, The fishermen are great examples of that. Because when everybody else looked at the fishermen who became the disciples, about four or five of the disciples were fishermen. They just saw fishermen, which is nothing wrong with fishermen. I like fish. I mean, they're good. There's nothing wrong with it. But Jesus could see something bigger than that for them. And so when he calls them in Matthew 4, he says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. Way another translation says it is, I will make you fishers of men. You're fishermen, that's great, but I want to make you fishers of men. And together we're going to change the world. And they did, because Jesus could see in them what other people could not see. And by the way, same thing with you. When Jesus looks at you, whether you have a big vision for your life or not, he created you. He made you. The Bible says that you have a destiny, that he even made you for something. You've been created for a purpose. We'll talk about that more next week. He sees not just what you are, but what you can be. And that's vision. And let me also thank you when I come to vision. I was at the local Good Coffee Company today, which I've been there quite a bit because it's so close to my office here at the Legacy Campus. We had a vision for that we could connect with people in the regular rhythm of their life, people who don't go to church, who aren't connected to church, that could just come and hang and be a start of a connection. And we want our buildings, all of our buildings, our other campuses too, as we begin to make changes there, to be just full of people all the time, not just like an NFL stadium once a week. And it's happening. It is so cool. And 90% of the people down there have no clue who I am when I walk in there. And that's exactly what we're praying for. That's exactly what we want. And that's happening because of you. As you're inviting people, as you're hanging out, as you're telling people about it. So way to go. Thank you. Let's just keep praying for that. But I also want you to think, as we're thinking about vision and successful things, I want you to go to that. Remember I asked you to think about one thing, one area of your life? I just want you to begin to think about this. We're going to come back to it. But just think about that area, whether it's a relationship, could be your marriage, could be a career, could be whatever it is, your Christian life. Just imagine just for a second what could be. Like, what would you really hope for? If it could be anything, like just paint a picture in your mind and just think, man, what, imagine if it could be like that, which will get us started to clarifying vision. It's important. But of course, vision without activating it, without doing something, is just a fantasy. And that gets us to the next component. And that is tenacity. In order to activate vision, it's not easy. To get from where we are to where we can be means you gotta take some steps, because you're over here, you gotta go over there. And sometimes that gets really difficult and tiring and exhausting. And a lot of people start well and then poop out, get discouraged. And that's where tenacity comes in, perseverance comes in. People who are highly effective and highly successful are people who don't just have a vision and start, but they persevere. They are people of tenacity. Now you see that in this movie, because Sonny Vaccaro has a lot working against him. He's got to, for one thing, talk Phil Knight, the CEO of Nike, into doing what wouldn't make a whole lot of sense at this stage of the thing. And that is, hey, instead of using our money and spreading it out to try to hope somebody catches fire and some player, whatever, we're gonna build everything around this one unproven 18-year-old. We're gonna give all the money we have to that guy, and we're gonna build a shoe line around him. He's gonna be the face of Nike. He's gonna be the brand. He's gotta talk him into that. Once he does that, he's gotta talk Michael Jordan, who'd already told everybody he has no interest at all in Nike, because Nike basketball was a bunch of losers and he didn't like the shoes. So he didn't want anything to do with Nike. He wanted to sign with Adidas, and he made that clear. If Adidas didn't work out, then Converse. And so he wasn't interested in Nike, so much so that the agent for Michael didn't even make a meeting happen, because he felt like, yeah, he's not interested, it's not worth it, it's just a waste of time. And so Sonny Vaccaro decides to go around the agent, which was unthinkable back then, or probably now too, go around the agent to get to the family himself, to get to the player. And he flies out to Wilmington, North Carolina, goes unannounced, just shows up at the home of the Jordans and talks to the real decision maker at that time, which was Dolores, the mom. And they have a good enough conversation that she decides, okay, we're gonna meet with Nike. Even though Michael didn't want to, she says, just, hey, as a favor to me, we're gonna do this. You at least need to consider it. And they have this meeting. And we're about to see the meeting, or the key point in this meeting. And you can feel the passion, you can feel the tenacity. And, well, let's watch it, and then we'll talk about it. Could watch that over and over again. So, great speech, right? And you feel not only Sonny's tenacity, but what he's telling Michael is, hey, your success or failure is going to be based on yours. Your ability to persevere, not just to be in the great times, but to make it through the times that are difficult. Which is true of anybody, any effort who's successful. There is always multiple points where it just makes sense to quit, where it's just too hard to go on. But people who are successful persevere anyway. And certainly that was true of Michael's career. In fact, at the end of his basketball career, he decided to do something everybody told him was crazy to do, and that is to try to be a professional baseball player. The greatest basketball player of all time decided, I want to try another sport. I want to try to be a professional baseball player. And people thought he was nuts. And here's what he said about it. Because they said, you're going to be a failure and all that. Here's what he said. I can accept failure. Everyone fails at something, but I can't accept not trying. I've always believed that if you put in the work, results will come. I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. If you're trying to achieve, there will be roadblocks. I've had them. Everybody has them. But obstacles don't have to stop you. If you run into a wall, don't turn around and give up. Figure out how to climb it. Go through it or work around it. And that's exactly what he did throughout his career. And like I said, anything significant requires tenacity and perseverance, especially when it gets difficult, to push through, not quit too quick. Now, I'm going to talk more about that, but let me say this. It's a little qualification, because there are times where stopping something is actually the thing to do. Sometimes it is actually the bold thing to do in a life cycle of something, or sometimes just, man, I've tried, and it's just time to stop. Sometimes that is true. In fact, a couple years ago, I was asked to go to a staff celebration for another church in our area that we're close to. Well, it's one community up here, and they asked me to come and speak to their staff and just do an encouraging thing, and which was easy to do because they're great people. And so I did my thing. And then at the end, one of the pastors came up and he said, hey, you probably don't remember this because this was a long time ago, but I just want to say, you know, thank you for meeting with me, because years ago, you didn't know me at all. I was a church planter in the area and was trying to start a church, and it was not going well, and called your office to see if you'd just be willing to meet with me to give some wisdom perspective, and you met with me. And then he began to, and then I kind of remember, but he started saying, yeah, I was, you know, and the church plant was not going well, and our marriage was, he said first before marriage, he said, I was burned out, like I was at a really bad, dark place. Our marriage was at a difficult place because of it. Our kids were suffering. We were financially in a big hole, and I was about to go, in order to keep the church alive, I was about to go into a bunch of personal debt to continue to finance what was happening. And you looked at me and you said, hey, sometimes the greatest act of faith is not starting something, is not continuing something. Sometimes the greatest, most courageous act of faith is to stop something. And I think it's time to stop. Now, I didn't know if that was a good thing or not. As I was hearing the story, like, was he going to kick me in the shin or what? You know, I was like, you big dummy, we could. But so I was kind of waiting. And I said, well, was that a good thing? And he said, oh, man, you saved me. You saved my finances. You saved my sanity. You saved my marriage. And you saved my ministry. He's like, I'm not a church planter. That's what I learned. It's just not, that's not what I'm put on this planet to do. And now, you know, here at the church, I'm doing exactly what I was put on this planet to do, and I'm flourishing here. And I, you know, just, you know, thank you. I was like, whew, you know? And I'm saying that because sometimes it is time to do that, okay? I don't want to, but most people are not like this guy. Most people quit way too quickly. And there's some things that you know is right no matter what, like acts of, like obedience and all that. You don't have to guess. You just keep going. Some things, sometimes it is okay to stop, but most people stop way too early when things get difficult and too difficult and all that. And that's why Paul told the Galatians, such a good verse. He said, let us not become weary in well-doing or weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I love the illustration. He uses a farming illustration, right? Because when you're a farmer, it's a lot of work. You got to till the soil. You got to get all that ready. And then you've got to plant. And then you've got to water. And you've got to weed. And you got to do fertilize. You got to do all this stuff. And nothing happens forever, it feels like. Nothing's coming up. And so it's really easy after a while to be like, this is stupid. I'm just going to quit. But he's saying, if you wait, you'll actually see fruit. It'll actually happen. And sometimes that fruit is a result that you want, but sometimes that fruit, even more importantly, is something in you. James and Peter in the New Testament both talk about how the greatest thing that happens when we go through difficulty and have to push through it and persevere is what happens in us. He says that perseverance produces maturity, produces character. That the way you and I grow in a difficult situation, maybe you're in a difficult relationship, maybe you're in a difficult marriage. Maybe you're in a difficult job. Maybe you're in a difficult career, like as a student, and school is just so hard. And whatever it is that you're in and that God has you in, but it's in those difficulties are actually the greatest friends for those who want to be people of maturity and high character, because that's where it happens. And anything deep, anything significant, anything good takes perseverance as well to keep pushing through. And then eventually, oh man, I'm so glad I did. And some of you right now, I just want you to hear me. Don't grow weary in doing good. Persevere, push through it. You'll see the fruit in your life, and hopefully you'll see the fruit in whatever endeavor or relationship or whatever it is that you're focused on right now where you're discouraged. Don't give up. Persevere. So we've talked about vision, we've talked about tenacity and perseverance. This last one, this last component is one, it's kind of like the whipped cream and cherry on top, although I don't like cherries. I always like Chris to eat those, but I love whipped cream. So it's like the thing that takes something from successful to crazy successful, and it's indispensable for that. And it's shrewdness. And I love the word shrewd. Jesus talked about us being shrewd. We'll look at that and why we need to be shrewd. Shrewd means to be smart, to be wily, to be scrappy, to be creative, to be informed. And it's so easy not to be, but people of high success are people who, among other things, are shrewd. And we're going to see the perfect example of what that means in the next clip, because we're going to see who becomes the real hero of the story, which is Michael's mom, Dolores. And this is an amazing scene. And when she is telling Sonny, we're going to go with Nike. However, there's one little thing. Let's watch. It's a great scene. That's shrewd. And Nike did it. Now, Air Jordan, to this day, generates for Nike $4 billion of sales every year. Michael Jordan gets $400 million of that every year. I mean, I could live on that. I don't know about you, but I, you know, and a $400 million a year. And you think, well, what does he do with it? I'm sure he does all kinds of things with it, including all these foundations for like underprivileged kids and all this stuff. And guess who runs those foundations? Dolores does. And my guess is they're well run because she's shrewd. Jesus told us as his followers to be shrewd, because our mission is so important that we should not be the least sharp, but the most sharp. For one time, Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out on a mission, he said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. That a lot of people in the world are shrewd and they're crafty like a snake, but they're not innocent like a dove. So he's saying, look, be as shrewd as those people. Just keep your integrity. Be people of integrity who are also people who are sharp and shrewd and smart. Another time, he told us the whole story about that, and all I have time to do is share the punchline of that story in Luke 16, where he says, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own than their own kind than are the people of the light. He's saying, you know, people who are politicians and business people in the world are so shrewd and sometimes conniving and all that kind of stuff, and way more than people of the light are. But he said, I don't want it to be that way because our mission is too important. I want you to be more shrewd than them. Just keep your character. Be people of character, but be people who are smart and shrewd and learn everything you can from everybody you can, because we need to be the best thinkers. We need to be the most strategic people because our mission is the most important in the world. And that's true. I mean, that's true for where God has placed you, at your school, in your at your place of work, in your family, in this church, however God is using you here, in your mission, however you serve the mission anywhere. What we're committed to, we should be like the best of the best in terms of thinking and being sharp and astute and all of that. And how do we do that? Well, we learn all we can, any way we can. And one opportunity I want to highlight is one I just don't want you to miss. It's going to happen here in just a little over a month, and that is the Global Leadership Summit. The Global Leadership Summit is, as far as I know, the largest single leadership training opportunity in the world. We'll join with over 100,000 people with different sites all over the place, all over the country, different parts of the world. We are the North Texas site for that. And what happens is they bring in the best leadership thinkers and practitioners anywhere so that we can be shrewd and that we can be sharp and that we can learn. I mean, here's some of the speakers that are going to be here. Arthur Brooks, a Harvard professor, wrote one of my favorite books that's been written recently, From Strength to Strength. It'd be worth it just for that. Amy Edmondson, another prof at Harvard Business School, who was recently ranked as the number one management thinker in the world. Marcus Buckingham, who wrote Now Discover Your Strengths and created StrengthsFinder for Gallup organization, that tool, is one of those speakers. Will Gadara, who wrote Unreasonable Hospitality, an incredible book. He's the one who started the restaurant and runs the restaurant that many consider to be the best restaurant in the world. And it's the one, if you know about the show The Bear, that was written about his, or that comes out of his restaurant. Molly Fletcher, one of the top sports agents in the country. Joe Saxton, a leadership development guru, and others. It's just an incredible opportunity, not only for us to come, but also to invite people, because it's not going to be like church. Now, some of these people are Christians, and they're going to share just naturally that part of their, that'll be in their story, but not in a way that feels like, oh no, here's the hook. They're trying to get me. I work really hard not to do that, because this is an opportunity for us to invite work teams and coworkers and all of that. And we used to host the summit for a long time, took a break, now we're doing it again. And everybody I've ever talked to who's invited work teams and coworkers, been like, so glad I did, including, you know, those who don't know Christ or whatever, because it's not all these people, most of these people are don't know the Lord. They're not Christians themselves. Some are. And so it's just learn everything you can from everybody you can, and that's the spirit of this. And you can go to our website, and there's a link to sign up there. If you do it this week, it's cheaper. I talked them into doing another week where it's $139 instead of whatever the other price is. And so let me encourage you to show up and to do that. Now, when you put all this together, right, you talk about being, you know, having vision and tenacity and shrewdness as components of success. It's hard to argue with that, right? I mean, you think, yeah, okay, really successful people, really successful things, they have vision. They don't just settle for what is. They strive to what can be. That makes sense. And yeah, okay, it makes sense that there's tenacity involved because most people, you know, they start well and then give up. But people who are really successful don't. They work through the hard in order to get to the good. And then shrewdness. Yeah, the right people are teachable and they learn, and successful people, and they learn from everybody they can, and they're sharp and they're shrewd. And I believe that's what God wants for all of us. And so I want us to go to God in prayer with that one thing in mind. Did you get one thing in mind? That you're thinking one area of life or one thing, and you're like, man, I'd love for that to be. So if I could look back at my life and that was successful, I'd be good. Whatever that is, let's bow our heads together before God, because I believe God wants to help us. And when I do this, I always have us just come and talk to God. You know, prayer is talking to God in our own words. Just, he's our Father. He loves us. You don't have to be impressive. Just talk to him. And I want you to think about that area of life and ask him, God, would you please help that be effective and successful? And then as we think about vision, just ask him right now in your heart, in your own words, just say, God, would you give me a vision for what can be in that area of life? And know that you're bigger than that. It's totally possible. God, would you help me have vision for what can be? Begin to picture what that would look like, feel like. And then tenacity. God, would you help me not just to, I mean, some of you, yeah, it is starting, but, and that's great. God, would you give me the courage to start? Some of you are at the place where perseverance is where it's at because you're just tired and confused and it's easy to give up and to say, no, God, don't let me give up. Let me keep taking steps. Give me wisdom, God. Help me persevere. And then on shrewdness, say, God, would you help me learn from you, learn from your word, learn from other people, be around other people who can help me. Just help me learn how to think and strategize and do better so that I can be highly effective. Father, I know you'll answer a prayer like that because you will always empower obedience. And I thank you for that. Help us be effective. You don't want us to be duds. You want us to be effective. And I pray you'd help us do that. In Jesus' name, amen.